Give praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Ah, there's something about your name. There's salvation in your name. There's healing in your name. There's deliverance in your name. Favor and blessing in your name. Joy and peace and protection in your name. Restoration and recovery in your name. Blessing in your name. Life eternal in your name. Woo! Woo, thank you, Jesus. My. We're going to the end. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about your name. Woo. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive it today. Receive it today. Receive what you need through the name. The name that's above every name. Ephesians chapter 2, just for a little while this morning. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, has he quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man or anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We thank God for the reading and the hearing of his blessed and living word. Again, we want to thank our ushers and greeters. We appreciate you so much for the ministry that you provide here among the people of God, your brothers and sisters. We also want to thank all of the other servants of God in whatever capacity, whatever office, whatever ministry you may be a part of. We appreciate everything that you do. And we try to mention that most Sundays. Perhaps one may slip by here or there, but we want you to know that everything you do during the course of the week, as well as on Saturdays, Sundays, everything that you do is appreciated. It's valued by the Lord, who has commissioned us to serve him by serving his people. And it's a value to me, and I pray to all of us who are the recipients and the beneficiaries of your loving, kind, and sacrificial service. And so thank you, and may God continue to abundantly, abundantly bless you. I think what we would be reminded of this morning is that when we think about the whole idea or concept of serving, and, you know, we talk about it often, a lot of times when we're doing Deacon and Trustee Day, or when we're doing one of the other ministries, it's always valuable to remember that we all are called to serve. Jesus himself said, "For I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." He wants all of us who would listen to his words and heed his example to embrace that attitude of being a servant. Embrace what it means to serve God by serving God's people. In another place, he pointed to the religious leaders, and he said, "You see these persons, they are the ones that exercise authority over you. They're the ones that would oppress you and make you," I'm paraphrasing, "serve them." But he said to his disciples, "With you, it's not to be that way. But if you're going to be great in my kingdom, become a servant to all. Become a slave to all." God was teaching them through Jesus that the highest place in the kingdom of God is the place of a servant. It's the highest place that we can attain, a servant. That's why even last week we referenced it, and many times from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus said, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," to those that have been faithful in handling and managing their stewardship. But there are going to be some, according again to Matthew 25, that because they didn't know their master, they did not appropriately use what had been entrusted to them. And he says to those in the teaching, "Depart from me, you lazy, slothful servant." Both or all servants, but some were deemed good and faithful, and some were deemed lazy and slothful, unproductive, unfruitful in their stewardship and service. And we declared then and we declare now, we want to hear God say what? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Now I want to make you ruler over much." God honors and values faithfulness in our service. It's just that simple. Just that simple. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing there to the church at Ephesus. And again, we believe this letter was to be a circular letter. So even though it may have started at Ephesus, it was to go to some other local assemblies as well. Paul is reminding them that they of their past. He said, "You were like this. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses. You had your conversation or your way of living among those who lived apart from God, according to their own dictates and mindsets and ideologies and so on. But now God, through his grace and mercy, has quickened." The word "quickened" here in the Greek means has made alive. God, because of his grace and his mercy, has taken those of you who were once dead, and he has made us alive. Those who were once under Satan's control and domination and influence now have been released and set free by the life-giving power of God. Now, brothers and sisters, that in and of itself is good news. Amen. That we can have a testimony that I once was lost in sin, like the psalmist said, but Jesus took me in. I once was alienated from God, but now I'm a part of God's family. I once was out there, dead and void in my own mind of deceit and corruption and deception. But now I have been brought into the family of the only true and living God. And it was an act of his grace, his giving, loving kindness, and his generosity not because I worked to deserve it or earn it, but because God loved me so much that he favored it on me because of the obedience of his unique son, Jesus, and now has made us a part of his family. He says, and not only did he make us alive together, but then he raised us up together, verse number 6, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. Look at the transformation that God has taken us through. In a moment of our confession of Jesus as Savior and Lord, Colossians, Paul tells us in Colossians, we were translated or transferred out of the power, out of the clutches, out of the control of Satan, and we were placed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that wonderful? Amen. What we could never do in 1,000 lifetimes, God did for us in a moment. Amen. What we could never do, God did. And he says, not only did I deliver you and place you into my family, I raised you up. I put you on a higher plane. I gave you a new lease on life. I put you in a place now of acceptance and a place of authority, a place of prominence. He says, and I made you to sit together in the heavenlies, the heavenly realms, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that. We're saved. We're delivered. We're raised up. And we're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right, Deacon Larry. Amen. It is so. And praise God for it. But he wants us to recognize that. Because he wants you to know who you are. He wants us to know who we are. So that now when he sends us to serve, you know, we won't be acting some kind of way. You know, we won't be acting strange and funny like, you know, this is beneath me. Or I don't deserve to be here or do this. God wants you to be set in your position in him. So that whatever assignments he gives us, we won't be shaken by the assignment. I want you to understand that. Because you know, when you come up, some of us, everybody hadn't always had what we have now. Some of us grew up poor. Some of us grew up poor. We couldn't even afford the other OR. You just ain't have, you know, and didn't have much. But of course, we were instilled with values and respect and things that money can't buy. But in terms of material things and whatever, a lot of us didn't come from, most of us didn't come from privilege. Many of us didn't come from what would be considered then a middle class family, though some of us did. And some of us, our people had a little something. And you know, so we come from all backgrounds and, you know, socioeconomic status and all that kind of stuff. But when you're not used to having much, sometimes when you get a little position and a little authority, yeah, or you start making a little money and paying bills, sometimes it can go to your head and you can start acting funny and looking down on people and getting kind of snobbish and snooty and all that kind of stuff. So God wanted his people to make sure, I want you to know who you are. Amen. So that when I tell you what I want you to do, you will have a right understanding of what it means to serve. So you won't be thinking that, you know, I did that when I was poor. I ain't doing that now. You know how some people feel? I washed toilets when I was poor. I ain't cleaning none now. I picked up behind white folks when I was, I ain't doing that now. I used to have to work in the fields back home. I ain't working in no fields. No, some stuff I just ain't doing no more. But Jesus wants you to know, once you're in, whatever I assign you to do, it has value. It has worth. It has meaning to my advancement of my kingdom and my purpose in the earth. So don't ever think that the task is too menial. There is dignity in serving God. By serving God's people. Amen. So Jesus said, let me tell you what I've done for you. So that now when I send you, you won't be all mixed up about your place and status. I sent you to serve. Amen. I sent you to minister. I sent you to bless. That's what I'm sending you into the world for. And he goes on to say in verse number 10, we said, remember, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everything we have, we receive from God, the very salvation and the very faith to believe it. It all is a gift from God. But then he goes on to write in verse number 9, not of works, your own human effort, lest anyone would have something to boast about. You know, yeah, Jesus saved me, but I had the faith to believe because he gave you that too. God has dealt to every man, Romans 12:3, the measure of faith. God has given everybody enough faith to believe to be saved. Amen. It is a gift of God too. So we don't have anything to boast about. Then he goes on to write in verse 10, for we, God's people, are his handiwork, his workmanship, you know, his unique design. He has fashioned and formed us according to his will and his purposes. He has done this in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, not to waste our lives, but for good works, not to remain living like we used to live before we got saved, but he has saved us unto good works. He wants our lives now to matter. He wants us to know now that you're saved, you can't live like you used to live. My purpose for saving you was not so that you could still wallow around in the gutter in sin, in ungodliness, in unrighteousness, in lasciviousness, in witchcraft, and in crazy stuff. My purpose for saving you was because I love you and I've got some good works now that I want you to do. He writes, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is Ephesians 2:10. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared or established or set that we should walk in them. So the good works have already been prepared by God. He just wants his people now by faith to go forth. Already determined, already established by God. And he reveals them in his word, what he wants us to do, and he reveals them to us by his spirit. One way he reveals them to us in his word is that he gave us a living example in Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter, 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, with the spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All we have to do is look at the life of Jesus. He is our earthly example, and we can see the good works lived out, modeled out for us. So if we have any questions, look at Jesus. Have any further questions, continue to study the scriptures and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he will show us and reveal to us how we are to live out the good works that God has already prepared and fashioned and ordained for us. So I know many of us are praying And we're asking God to please reveal to me what it is you want me to do. Anybody seeking God for guidance? Amen. And it's right to do that. And as we ask him, we should be listening and open for God to guide and direct us. And what you're going to find, brothers and sisters, is that while there may be some great thing that we would look at that God wants us to do, you can rest assured in the process, it's going to be a whole lot of little things that folks may overlook, that they may look down on or despise, that God is going to instruct us to do. Because remember, we are equipped, the Bible says, unto every good work. The Bible says, whatever we do in word or in deed, do it all unto the Lord. Everything that we set out to do, when we put our hands to it, we should submit it to the Lord and submit it to the word. Does this honor God? Will it be a blessing to the kingdom? What is the value? What's the benefits to furthering the will of God? And if we look at that thing and say, no, this ain't nothing but dead works, we need to start putting those things off, because they are draining you of time and energy and resources that could be devoted in things that advance the kingdom. Does that make sense? And no matter how long we live, we know we have eternal life, that this physical life is going to end unless Jesus comes first and we're immediately transitioned into eternity. And if we don't want to not accomplish the things that God would have us to do, we don't have time, amen, I'm saying, to keep wasting in fruitless, vain things. Just don't have the time. We're getting older. The return of Jesus is drawing nearer. The Apostle Paul looked at his life in the book of Ephesus and in the book of Philippians, and he said this. He said that I'm kind of in a strait. You know, there are two things pulling at me. He says, or he writes, on the one hand, I can leave here and be with the Lord, he wrote, which is far better. And the King James cuts it off, but the thought is, which is far better for me. That's the thought. I can go to be with the Lord, which is far better for me. Or I can stay here and serve you, which is more beneficial to you. He says, and now that I know, and I'm paraphrasing, what to do, I reckon I'm going to stay here in this body a while. Look at his choices. If I stay, it's for you. If I go, it's for me. That ought to be the things that we weigh. I want to live, and I want to live a long time. But the long time that I live, I want to live so I can serve. Or else, if I don't want to serve, I want to go. That's Paul's two positions. If I go, it's better for me. If I stay, it's better for you. That's the heart of a servant. That's the heart of a servant. I'm here to serve. Here to serve. Because there is far better than here. Yeah. Read your Bible. No sickness, no sin, no lying, no death, no despair, no darkness, no enemy, no Satan, no disease, no weakness, no, you know, none of that stuff is there. He says there is better for me. Here is better for you. So I'm going to stay. You too, son. So I can serve you. serve the people. Amen. So there are good works. A few more minutes. They're already ordained, established for us to walk in. Jesus said, I want you to be a servant. Not like those who are in authority that lord it over you, but those who understand how to humbly submit, because that's the greater position. In our Bible study classes, we've been talking about foundations of the faith. And those of us who understand anything about a foundation, you know that the strength, the character of a building is really no sturdier than the foundation upon which it's built. If the foundation is weak, if the foundation is faulty, you can build a palace, but that thing's going to start crumbling and cracking and breaking up. You remember some years ago, it's been a while now, we've had this whole issue once upon a time of shrink swell soil. And people had bought houses that was built on old dumps and old things that weren't stable. And pretty soon the foundation started cracking and crumbling and the earth started opening up. You don't have to go back that far. In Florida and a lot of places around this country now, big sinkholes are opening up and people's whole houses and cars are going down. Some people have gone down and been swept away. They never found them because of the waters that were running under, and the holes opened up, the house, the car fell in, and they never found them. The foundation must be stable. Right? When Jesus built this kingdom, he says, upon this rock, this revelation from God, I will build my church. What was the revelation? You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. He says, Simon Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, this revelation, this truth, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then he builds on the foundation. And he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the perfecting, for the equipping, for the outfitting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. Those ministry gifts, those servants are not lords. They are foundational servants. See, the kingdom of God is not like this pyramid, this flat thing down here that runs up to God. No, the kingdom of God is like this that comes down to man. We'll make sure we get that. See, when we start building, we build from the ground up. When God built, he built from heaven down. Heaven came down and glory filled the earth. Yeah. So you got to turn it upside down to see it God's way. Then you'll realize that no, those who call themselves apostles or prophets and pastors and teachers, we're not lords. We're servants. Those who are ministers and deacons, the diakonos in the scripture, they are servants. Amen. Those who usher and those who sing and those who minister, the Levites and the priests, they were servants. The prophets were servants. The kings that serve at the behest of God were servants. Why do you think even today most people in those offices are called public servants? They forgot that they're supposed to serve the people. in this one nation that's under God. We the people. They forgot that part. Jesus said, if you're going to be great in the kingdom, I'd be a servant. Why, Jesus? Because I'm a servant. My Father is a servant. Right? He's a shepherd. He is the great shepherd, right? Jesus, the great shepherd, right? Who lays down his life for the sheep. David, the great shepherd, who fought off a lion and a bear to protect and deliver the sheep. Jesus, serving at his table. He's about to be crucified, and he's the one serving. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. If we want to be great, we want to be like our Father, we are sons who serve, daughters who serve.
That's right.
Two main words in the Greek. Doulos is a slave. One was diakonos, servant, minister, attendant. The other is a slave, doulos. You're just going to serve. Paul even said, I don't even consider myself worthy to be considered an apostle. He said, I'm a servant. I'm a slave for Jesus Christ. His whole mindset was, I'm going to serve you into eternal life. I'm going to serve the unsaved into salvation. I'm going to serve the newly saved into maturity and growth. I'm going to serve you into your gifts and callings and anointings from God. I'm here to serve. So it's an honor.
Yes, sir.
And it's a privilege to serve God and to serve by serving God's people. Even though I could go on with this for a long time, I think I might want to start wrapping this up with this. And for those who serve and those who are served, and it's a give and take in the household of faith, we are servants. And we are the recipients of service. And to me, sir, I would think people who are servants would understand what other servants have to go through. Wouldn't you think that? If you're a servant, you would have a better understanding and appreciation and a respect for others that serve, you would think. I mean, I would just think, Brother Don. Right? And you know, you've been the recipients of good service and some bad service. Anybody ever had any good service? I mean, good service in whatever industry. You've had good service. That service that makes you leave a big tip, or that service that you want to go back again and again, right? That service, right? Like those here that do hair and that sell vehicles and stuff, give such great service that the people keep coming back and coming back, huh? Anybody ever had any poor service? Absolutely. It just leaves that taste in your mouth where, I don't know if I want to come back here anymore. I'm going to switch companies. I'm going to go to somebody else just because of the way I was treated, the service that I got. It makes a difference. Servants ought to understand servants. And another thing, we all need to gain a better appreciation of what others are going through because we go through stuff. We don't know what a person left at home to come to work and serve. We don't know what they went through when they walked through these doors to either serve, to sing, to preach, to minister. We don't know. They could have been sick. They could have been in an argument, could have just had an accident and pressed their way anyway. Someone in their family could be sick. They could be having financial difficulties, all sorts of issues that we deal with and still wanting to serve.
Amen. Amen.
God honors that, and he wants us to honor that as well. And to be more patient with each other when we don't always get it right. Always say the right thing. Always do the right thing. If we don't always follow protocols, and if we don't, you know, we gotta be patient with each other, because God is still working on us too. And if we ever get to the place where we think I'm perfect and everybody else is not, you're in trouble. Because you have lied to yourself. You are deceiving yourself. And that's an opening for the enemy to get you into a critical spirit, to get you into a judgmental spirit, to take you into a place where now you are accessible to the enemy because you got the wrong spirit. If God can forgive me, I can forgive you. Amen. If I want to. If you want to. Right. Amen. If God can be patient with you, you can be patient with me. If you want to. Amen. If God's love covers a multitude of faults and sins, our love can cover some faults and sins if we want to. And not expose everybody's shortcomings and weaknesses just because we want to. I thank God for the blood. I thank God that when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. I thank God that he looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. I thank God that he didn't throw me in the waste heap, in the dung pile, in the dump heap, but he picked me up and he made me brand new and he washed me clean and he made me his son. I thank God. And if he can do that for me, who am I to judge and condemn you and sentence you to life in hell? We are servants. And the psalmist said we should serve the Lord with gladness. That's right. Yes, I've got some issues, but I'm still glad that I get to go to the house of God and I get to interact with my brothers and sisters. I left some crazy stuff at home, but I know when I come to the house of God, I'm going to have some joy and some peace and some acceptance in the household of faith. I got some crazes on my job, but when I come to the household of faith, somebody's going to hug me. Somebody's going to greet me. Somebody's going to give me a smile or a kiss in the Lord and tell me God loves me and everything's going to be all right. Huh? I've got some issues going on, but I just believe if I serve the Lord with gladness, if I give him all I got because he gave me all he got, God's going to work it out. God's going to fix it. God's going to turn it around. God's going to bless in the midst of it. I just believe in God. I just believe that the Bible says God is not unfaithful to forget your labor and love, what you've done to the saints. But God remembers and God blesses. And he just wants some people that's going to say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you with joy. I'm going to give you my best because you gave me your best. I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I want to be like you, a king who serves, a priest who serves, a son who serves. Serving others into their purpose and into their destiny. If you really want to serve God, if you're really glad to be a son, a daughter that serves, why don't you just bless the Lord and say, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor, sir. Thank you for entrusting me with people's lives. Thank you, God, that you think enough of me that you would put me in a place to minister to your precious saints. Thank you, God, that you gave me this family. It might be dysfunctional now, but you're going to fix it. You're going to fix it, God, because you're faithful. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I am done in Jesus' name. So give God a hand of praise. Oh, Lord. Quickly, quickly.